This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg here with you on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as Championship Week begins. That's right. The Stanley Cup Final will get underway on Wednesday night in Edmonton. The Oilers and the Panthers in a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup Final. And Thursday night, the NBA Finals begin in OKC between the Thunder and the Pacers, where the Thunder are a 9-point favorite in game number one. As we take an early look here at the Stanley Cup Final, as much as I love what I've seen from the Florida Panthers, and they are an absolute wagon. We get that. I feel like I've underestimated the Oilers in every round. I bet on the Kings to beat them in round number one, and they came back from two games down. They made a goaltending switch, and Calvin Pickard comes in and wins six straight games for the Oilers. He gets hurt in that Vegas series, and all of a sudden, Stuart Skinner, who got benched earlier in the playoffs, is an elite goaltender again. And Skinner plays great. And every step of the way, the Oilers have shown you that not only are they the deepest team, not only are they have the most talented players, but they are never out of any game. It doesn't matter how many goals they're down. It doesn't matter when it is, how late in a game it is, extra attackers or not. They're never out of any game. And that's the scary thing if you're trying to bet against this team. And just look at what happened last year. The Oilers were down 3-0 in the Stanley Cup Final. And they forced a game seven. That's extremely rare. And they lose game seven. Connor McDavid in a losing effort is your Conn Smythe trophy winner. And he deserved it. He was the best player in the entire playoffs. And that's the thing. When you're betting a Conn Smythe market, you have to look at what the player has done, not just in the final. And yes, a lot of the voting will come from what happens in the final. But it's also about what you did in the entire postseason. It is the MVP of the entire playoffs, not just the Stanley Cup Final. But yes, what you do in the Stanley Cup Final will have a massive impact on winning that award. Right now, Connor McDavid is the favorite to win the Conn Smythe. And I get it. If you look at the storylines galore, I mean, I tweeted this out last week, and it's something that I still think is fascinating, just in the historical context of what we could see here. Wayne Gretzky won his first Stanley Cup in a rematch the year after losing his first attempt to the Islanders. The Oilers lost to the Islanders in 83. They come back, they win the very next year. Sidney Crosby lost or won his first Stanley Cup in a revenge series the year after losing it in his first trip against the Red Wings. They lose to the Red Wings in, what was it, 08, 09? They come back, they win it the next year. And then Connor McDavid loses his first trip to the final against the Panthers last year. And he could join Gretzky and Crosby in the line here of history and win his first cup in a rematch effort here against the team that beat him last year. The storylines are there. And for McDavid, like, think about this. Last year, he wins the Conn Smythe Award as the MVP of the playoffs. He does not come out of the dressing room to accept the award. One, he's upset about obviously losing game number seven, and winning the award in a losing effort is just, you know, it's nice, but you know what? It just didn't mean as much to him. Obviously, he's still stewing over the loss. He also doesn't want to come out onto the ice and steal the moment away from the Panthers, who are celebrating winning the Stanley Cup. So he doesn't come out of the dressing room. He doesn't come out to accept the award. Okay. Doesn't it feel like the writers this year would vote for McDavid to win, to have that moment now? If the Oilers win the cup, to have that moment on the ice in front of the fans to accept the trophy and accept the honor. It feels like that's what the writers would vote for. McDavid is the favorite at plus 110. If the Oilers win the cup, for somebody else to win this award, they have to outplay McDavid in the Stanley Cup final. And the only player that I think has a chance to do that is Leon Draisaitl. With all due respect to Stuart Skinner and anybody who's holding a 50-1 ticket on Stuart Skinner to win the Conn Smythe, sure. And Skinner's a great guy. And I've talked to our very own Jonathan Davis, who does a tremendous job at vsin.com, writing up his analysis for the NHL. And he told me that Stuart Skinner is one of the nicest guys that he's ever covered. And the media, they love Skinner. Great guy. And the storylines with him being benched, coming back, being so great. Sure. You can see where people would root for a guy like that. But he's not winning this award over Connor McDavid. But Leon Draisaitl could. Now, hear me out. Over the course of this entire playoffs, Connor McDavid leads all skaters with 26 points. Leon Draisaitl is second with 25 points. McDavid has 6 goals in these playoffs. Draisaitl has 7 goals in the playoffs. McDavid's got 20 assists. Draisaitl's got 18 assists. If Draisaitl outplays McDavid in these finals, if he has more goals and more points, the writers could vote for Leon Draisaitl to win the Conn Smythe. Because he would have outplayed McDavid in the final. And if you look at just the entirety of the playoffs, he's played pretty much the same as McDavid. It's not like McDavid comes into the final having 5 more points or so than the next highest player. He's 1 point ahead of his teammate Leon Draisaitl right now. So if Draisaitl outplays McDavid in the final, I think there's a good case to be made here for Leon Draisaitl at plus 750 odds to be the Conn Smythe winner. He's the fourth favorite. He's the second favorite amongst the Edmonton Oilers. So, yeah, I understand why McDavid's the favorite. Rightfully so. But at plus 750 for the next most obvious choice on the team, it just feels like that's an incredible value on a guy who, as I mentioned, comes into the Stanley Cup final just 1 point back of McDavid. And he's got 1 more goal. If Draisaitl outplays McDavid in the final, he could win this award. Plus 750 is a good price. Is a good price for the Conn Smythe here. For a guy who is, you know, what, Hart Trophy finalist, who's a guy who's been an MVP before in this league. I know that obviously McDavid has been an MVP also multiple times, 3 times, but 750, that's a good price on Leon Draisaitl to win the Conn Smythe. That's a really good price on Leon Draisaitl. For Florida, if they go on to win the Stanley Cup, couple of interesting names. I already in pocket have a Sergei Bobrovsky ticket at plus 250. He is the favorite amongst the Florida Panthers. Sasha Barkov is next at plus 550. If we're looking at the skating numbers, Barkov's got 17 points. He leads the Florida Panthers. But it's not like he's head and shoulders above the rest of his teammates, because Sam Bennett's got 16 points in the playoffs. Matthew Tkachuk has got 16 points as well in the playoffs. Brad Marchand has 14 points in these playoffs. Carter Verhaeghe has got 14 points. I mean, the Florida Panthers are spreading the wealth. Sam Bennett leads the way. In fact, he leads all skaters with 10 goals in the playoffs. Alexander Barkov has 6 goals in the playoffs. So if Sam Bennett continues to lead the Panthers in scoring, and the Panthers go on to win the Stanley Cup, Sam Bennett at 30-1 is certainly an interesting ticket. But it's hard for me to see the Florida Panthers winning the Stanley Cup with a skater winning the Conn Smythe, because that would mean that they win games that are high scoring. I just don't think that's the case. I think the way that they have to win games is because Sergei Bobrovsky keeps them in every game. And if Bob keeps them in every game, then that, to me, it's obvious that he's going to wind up being the Conn Smythe Award winner. Because to me, for Florida to win, they have to limit the scoring of Edmonton. And if they do so, Sergei Bobrovsky is your Conn Smythe. But if it's a high-scoring series that goes back and forth, I just don't see Florida winning that type of series. The more goals that Edmonton scores, Edmonton's going to win these games. Very interesting market, though. Very interesting market. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to the daily email with the best bets from hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSIN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg here with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's on Air. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live, as we'll talk some Major League Baseball coming up in about 15 minutes. Our very own Greg Peterson will join us on the program. We will preview the Tuesday slate of games here on your Major League Baseball schedule. It was a short slate of games on Monday, and it was a road Monday. That's right. All road teams winning here on Monday. The Colorado Rockies won for just the 10th time all season as they defeated the Marlins 6-4. The Angels with a 7-6 win over the Red Sox. The Brewers a 3-2 win over the Reds. Tigers blow out the White Sox 13-1. Padres in 10 innings blank the Giants 1-0. The Twins a 10-4 win over the A's in Sacramento. And the Mets in 10 innings a 4-3 win over the Dodgers as that National League Championship Series rematch continues. We saw these teams go at it last week at Citi Field, where the Mets took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. They lose game one in 13 innings to the Dodgers, and then they win games 2 and 3, 5-2 and 3-1. And just like last week, the game one goes into extra innings here, as the Mets took a 2-1 lead into the bottom of the ninth. Edwin Diaz is on for the save. And, well, the Dodgers do what the Dodgers do, as Tommy Edman singles to start the inning. Then Edman steals second. Ha-Seong Kim reaches on an infield single, which pushes Tommy Edman to third, and then Shohei Ohtani hits a sacrifice fly to tie the game before Teoscar Hernandez strikes out. And so 2-2, they headed to the top of the 10th inning, where Francisco Alvarez doubled to lead off the inning, which scored the ghost runner from second base. Francisco Lindor then singled, which scored Starling Marte, who pinch ran for Alvarez. The Mets took a 4-2 lead into the bottom of the 10th, the Dodgers scoring the ghost runner in the bottom of the 10th, and they lose 4-3. And get this, the Mets have now won 27 consecutive games when Francisco Lindor homers. Lindor homered to lead off the game for the Mets. They took a 1-0 lead right on the second pitch of the game. Mets were up 1-0. And right then and there, you could have live bet the Mets to win. Because 26 straight games they had won coming into this game on Monday night when Francisco Lindor homered. Now make that 27 consecutive games that the Mets have won when Lindor goes yard. That is the second longest streak in baseball history. Well, since 1900. But the longest streak was Carl Furillo. 29 straight games his team had won when he homered. Furillo played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. 29 straight games from 1951 to 1953. When he homered, the Brooklyn Dodgers won the game. It is now 27 consecutive games in the regular season. That's the mark. It's a regular season record only. Where Francisco Lindor has homered and the Mets have gone on to win the game. That is just amazing. And Shohei Ohtani also homered here on Monday. He now is once again putting himself on a historic pace. The most home runs through 60 games in Dodger history now. Ohtani with 23 home runs on the year. Again, the most home runs in Dodger history through the team's first 60 games. And he now has the most home runs in the leadoff spot through a team's first 60 games in baseball history. 23 home runs on the season. I mean, what more can you say about the guy? He's already wrapped up the National League MVP, and he hasn't even pitched yet this year. Just let that sink in for a moment. Ohtani hasn't pitched yet this year, and he has wrapped up the National League MVP. Once he steps onto a mound and becomes the pitcher that we remember him to be, it's like we're going to have to start betting into the winner without market. I mean, that's just it. I mean, Aaron Judge is running away with the American League. He's minus 6,000, Aaron Judge is, to win the AL MVP. Ohtani's minus 270. It's going to go up. It's going to be minus 300 a little bit later on to win the National League MVP. We're going to have to start betting into the winner without markets. That's it. The winner without Judge. The winner without Ohtani. That's your best chance. I mean, these awards markets are just, it's amazing to take a look at what some of these players are doing. The MVP discussion, the back-to-back MVPs, it's going to happen. It's crazy. Judge and Ohtani are going to be the MVPs. Again. And then we could have a repeat Cy Youngs. I don't know if that's ever happened in baseball history. I'm going to have to look this up. Or we're going to have to find out. I'm going to have to tweet somebody to figure this out. Have we ever had the same MVPs and Cy Young Award winners in back-to-back seasons? MVPs, I'm sure we've had. But we could have the same MVPs as last year. I mean, we are going to have the same MVPs as last year with Judge and Ohtani. We could literally have the same Cy Young Award winners as well. I mean, Tarik Skubal is a minus 150 favorite to win the American League Cy Young Award. And as much as I would love for Max Fried to win this award, and you could look at Max Fried right now, he's at plus 850. He's not going to win it. Hunter Brown's having an incredible year for the Houston Astros. He's not going to win it. Garrett Crochet is your second favorite for the Red Sox. He's not better than Tarik Skubal. I'm sitting on a Jacob DeGrom 15-1 ticket, and he's nowhere near what Tarik Skubal's doing. Although DeGrom is having a really, I mean, you want to talk about coming back from injury and like establishing like yourself? Like, I mean, man, I mean, he's been out of this world. Now, we're not going to have a repeat National League Cy Young Award winner because Sale is not having nearly the season that he had last year. So we can kind of throw that out. But in the American League, the senior market, or, you know, I mean, we're talking about Tarek Skubal, repeat Cy Young, Aaron Judge, repeat MVP. That's very likely going to happen. So I'm curious, have we, I got to find out, have we had, you know, back-to-back ever happen? Same MVP, same Cy Young. And I don't think so. I think the last back-to-back Cy Young winner might have been DeGrom in the National League. I mean, in the American League, I'm going to look it up here. American League Cy Young, Pedro, 1999 and 2000. Before that, Clemens, 97 and 98. Randy Johnson, 1, 2, 3, 4 straight years from 99 to 02. Well, then I guess it would probably be what, Bonds and Johnson, maybe back to back. If we look at, let's see, list of, if we look at the, I'll look at the MVPs. I bet you that's what it was, actually. It makes a lot of sense, actually, now that I think about it. If Randy Johnson had that run, then no, let's see. Randy Johnson from 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. Cy Young Award. And in 99, we had Chipper Jones, 2000, Jeff Kent, 2001, Bonds, 2002, Bonds. So they did overlap in 01 and 02. And then Bonds winning in 03 and 04, of course. So you had back-to-back the same MVP in Cy Young in the National League, 2001, 2002. I believe that's got to be the last time it's happened. Because in the American League, as I mentioned, we haven't had the back-to-back Cy Young Award winner since Pedro, 99 and 2000. And MVPs were Pudge Rodriguez and Jason Giambi. Before that, Griffey and Juan Gonzalez. So that was the Clemens back-to-back years. So yeah, the last time it happened, 2001 and 2002. Same National League Cy Young Award winner and MVP. And that's what we could have here in the American League this year with Aaron Judge going back-to-back MVPs and Tarek Skubal going back-to-back Cy Youngs. Historic stuff right now in Major League Baseball. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by our very own Greg Peterson as he previews the Tuesday slate of games here in Major League Baseball. Get some best bets for what's going to happen on your card on Tuesday. We have obviously the continuation of series that began here on Monday, but also a whole slew of new series that will begin here on Tuesday. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is our very own Greg Peterson, who you see on this show and other shows here on the network. And you listen to the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts from. Greg, I talked about something earlier in the show when it comes to Major League Baseball. I want your opinion on. We have seen more double-digit wins. And we saw one here on Monday with the Tigers blowing out the White Sox. We've now had 47 double-digit wins from the start of the season to now June 2nd. That is the most in this time span in any season as far as the database that I have goes back, which is 2003, 2004. Why do you think we're seeing so many blowout games this early in the season? And how could we maybe attack that from a betting perspective?
I actually have a very good answer for you. When these teams get down 6-plus runs, they're able to utilize a position player, and it feels like a lot of these teams are trying to save their bullpen. So when a team gets down 8-0, 9-0, they're going into the 8th/9th inning, you are seeing many more of these backup second basemen, these guys where it's like, wow, that's a backup catcher. I didn't know that was a backup catcher. Now here he is pitching, doing more pitching than he is catching. That's, I think, the big reason why. And the way that you attack it, when you see a position player go into the game, you bet that team that is batting against that position player, to whatever their run line is, whether that be like -9.5, -10.5, what have you, and you bet the over. Sometimes you're going to get burnt. Sometimes you'll get a position player that actually gets a 1-2-3 inning. More often than not, you are not going to.
Yeah, I love betting live overs in these blowout games because you also get the cushion of just maybe the team that's trailing scoring a couple of runs. But I think that we've seen more times than not this, at least through the early portion of the season, that when the teams go up big, they continue to go up. They just continue to score as more teams are, for lack of a better term, Greg, forfeiting games. They're just saying, hey, it's 162 game season. I'm not going to waste arms out of my bullpen. We're losing this game. Oh, well, we'll get them tomorrow. And they're just they're mucking games. These teams are punting these games away. So that's why I think live overs are the way to play, because I think blowout games actually turn into bigger blowouts.
Yep, and to your point about the live over as well, I'm so glad that you pointed it out with the trailing team getting a run or two, because there are many teams that when they're up 8-1 in the eighth or ninth inning, they will gladly trade that run to be able to get an out and just get out of Dodge with a win.
Yep, absolutely. Let's take a look at the schedule here for Tuesday. We talk about blowout wins. The Tigers are coming off of a big blowout win against the White Sox, and now they will take on the White Sox for game two of this series. Now, if we look at the bullpen usage, you know, something that actually might benefit the White Sox here in this game on Tuesday is that, like, kind of like we talk about with these blowouts, sometimes you just ask a pitcher to eat it. And they asked Bryce Wilson to eat it. He gave up 8 runs on 12 hits and contributed to that 13-1 loss. But maybe that helps the White Sox here because they have a rested bullpen against the Tigers. What are you seeing for this game and what's your handicap?
Right now, this is a game that's off the board because with the Detroit Tigers, they have yet to settle on a starter. Now, I'm seeing on CBS Sports, they're projecting Sawyer Gibson Long, who you may recall, he actually made a few starts during the 2023 season. Looked very good. His strikeout stuff was very good. He's been pitching at the minor league level, has honed it in with regards to command. So we don't have anything on the board, but I would love to see an 8.5 pop up. Because if there's an 8.5 that pops up, I would love the under, because you mentioned it with the White Sox. They are able to save some of their good bullpen pieces. And Mike Fassil has actually been a really good long guy for the White Sox. And then you've also been able to have Shane Smith be able to give you a sub-3 ERA. I think they might be doing for a little bit of regression, but he's been impressing me. And for the Detroit Tigers, if you throw out their Gibson Long, you throw out there another guy that might not go a full 5 innings, you know this as well as I do. They've got one of the best bullpens in the big leagues. Some of these guys like Brand Herter and company are able to give you multiple innings. So I'm hoping we get an 8.5 in this game because I would love to take it under here.
The Rockies won for just the 10th time this season on Monday and come from behind fashion against the Marlins. Now the Marlins will send Sandy Alcantara and his 8.47 ERA to the bump on Tuesday against the Rockies. Miami a -180 favorite. I mean, the Rockies aren't going to win 2 in a row, are they?
No, I mean, there's the Lloyd Christmas theory of they're saying there's a chance. I don't think that there's too much of a chance of that happening. Chase Dolander is coming off the injured list. He's going to be making this start. And while his ERA isn't quite as bad as Sandy's, he's still rocking north of a 6 ERA. He's getting rocked for 2.3 home runs per 9 innings. And with the Colorado Rockies, they're averaging 2.4 runs per game away from home, albeit they added in their Orlando Arcia. He was able to go deep against the New York Mets, so you've got a few pieces that have been added. But, man, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the Miami Marlins on the run line because in 60 games this far this season, the Rockies have lost 50 of them. Only 11 of those losses have come by multiple runs. So 39 times, if you've laid the run in half, you've been able to get there. You're coming off of a Colorado Rockies win. I can't remember the last time they won 2 games in a row. I think the dinosaurs might have been roaming the earth, so I'm going to be willing to take a shot on Miami on the run line, and I do like this over as well.
Paul Skeens Day in Pittsburgh as the Pirates take on the Astros and Lance McCullers. Pittsburgh a -150 favorite. Are we back in Skeens here?
With Skeens, if we can get this down to closer to like a -135, I'd be willing to do so. Right now, seeing a lot of -140, and I don't dare take a run line with the Pittsburgh Pirates with the way that they're just not scoring. But what I like a little bit more is that 7.5 under. McCullers has looked a little bit better in his last few starts. And again, with the Pittsburgh Pirates, while the offense has been a little bit improved ever since they had that incredible stretch where they won 26 straight games with 4 runs or fewer, they just don't offer a lot there. Paul Skeens, you know what you're going to get out of him. You know that you're going to be able to get 6-7 solid innings, posting up a sub-250 ERA, keeping the ball in the yard, giving up a half a home run per 9 innings. Swing and miss stuff has been up. The Astros have been a pretty average offense, to say the least. They're starting to pick it up a little bit more with Jose Altuve after a rough start to the season, rounding into form. But I like that 7.5 under. Like I said, would need to get more like a minus 135 to back Paul Skeens on the money line.
Talking to our very own Greg Peterson, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. Yankees take on the Guardians, start of a three-game set in the Bronx. The Yankees are minus 185 with Carlos Rodon on the mound. But Greg, a big factor here for the Yankees is they will now be without their closer, Luke Weaver, for 4 to 6 weeks, meaning your old friend, Devin Williams, is going to be back in the closer role, presumably for the Yankees. How does that affect your handicap on the Yankees moving forward?
You certainly do have to downgrade the New York Yankees, though. They've been able to mix and match with a few guys. Yuri De Los Santos has actually been a relatively good find for them. So that's been something that's been helping them out a little bit. But yeah, Devin Williams, he's been brutal. Been better recently. And I think that Devin Williams isn't quite as bad as at start of the season. I also don't think that he was quite as good as he was with the Brewers last year. I think that's somewhere between A and B. So a downgrade, I don't think as quite a bit of a downgrade as that ERA would indicate for the season. But I mean, Carlos Rodon has been tremendous. He has given up 7 runs over his last 8 starts. This guy is getting swings and misses. He's preventing the deep ball, which has been his kryptonite ever since getting to New York. And for Tanner Bybee, he just has not impressed me this year. He's got an ERA that's hovering right around about 380, but that fielding dependent is more in the neighborhood of 5. He's not getting the same amount of strikeouts as he did a season ago. 3 walks, 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. I do like this total over as right now we're seeing an 8. I do think that that Luke Weaver factor needs to be factored in there, but I also like the Yankees on the run line because I just think that they get to Tanner Bybee.
Greg, we have two guys that have come back from the IL and have not been good since returning from the IL. Spencer Strider is 0-3 with a 4.5 ERA for the Braves. He'll get the start against the Diamondbacks. George Kirby, 0-2 with an 11.42 ERA for the Mariners as he starts against the Orioles. Which one of these guys who is still trying to build up some strength here, coming off the IL to start the season, which one of these two pitchers would you trust more to figure it out and find themselves?
Spencer Strider has looked a whole heck of a lot better than George Kirby. With George Kirby, the fact that he's given up 3 walks in 8 2/3 innings is stunning because his career walks per 9 rate is 1.2, so it's darn near triple that. He did not even look good with the Tacoma Rainiers, the AAA affiliate of the Seattle Mariners. Now, truth be told, I will be backing both of these teams, and I'm going to be backing both of these overs as well, because with Strider, he's still getting a little bit north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Not having that supreme swing and miss stuff makes him a lot more hittable, but Zach Gallen has not been good this year. Mm-hmm. North of 5 ERA. I wonder how much of the residuals of that 2023 season where he pitched all those innings is really catching up to him here. So I'm going to be willing to take a shot on both of these overs. And with the Mariners, I do like them on the run line as well against the Orioles, just because with Sugano, 4.9 strikeouts per 9 innings, 1.5 home runs per 9, backed up by a really bad bullpen. And this Orioles team has just been overvalued all season.
Good stuff, Greg. Appreciate the time and the insight. Good luck with your bets, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Always appreciate it, Scott. Thank you so much.
There he is, our very own Greg Peterson. Check out the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts from. And Greg will be on VSiN all over this network, including on this show later on this week. Hey, this summer, go all in here at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package. Just $400 all in. And get this, you're going to get a 2-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and my favorite part, your very own day bed at Stadium Swim. All for just $400, resort fees and taxes included. This limited time offer is valid for stays until September 4th, so don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
back here on Cashing Out. I'm Scott Seidenberg here with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we turn our attention to the Tuesday slate of Major League Baseball games, want to run through the schedule and pick out some best bets for you on this Major League Baseball betting card. But before we get to that, we got to talk about all the drama that has unfolded in the College World Series. That's right. If you're not following the College World Series, we have had a number of upsets, a number of top teams have been eliminated, but the SEC does get a team still alive in LSU, who defeats Little Rock in come-from-behind fashion 10-6. Also, Tennessee advancing with an 11-5 win over Wake Forest. Number 10, Ole Miss, though, is out, as we have had several top-seeded teams be eliminated. Number 16, Southern Miss, out as well, as they are upset by Miami. And so we have had a number of these top-seeded teams get eliminated here in the College World Series. Just in the regionals, the number of 1 and 2 seeds are out. And so we head to the super regionals. And right now, for more information on the College World Series, you can go to vsin.com, where we have a College World Series betting guide, vsin.com/CWS. You can take advantage of what's going on at vsin.com, get you ready for the super regionals here in the College World Series. Lots of drama. If you're betting the favorites, more power to you, because these dogs have been coming through each and every game. So, well, not every game, but a lot of these games, the dogs have been coming through. Let's take a look at the Major League Baseball schedule here for Tuesday and see if there are any dogs that we like. All road teams won on Monday. Not necessarily all dogs, but all road teams did win on Monday. And that's something contradictory to what we have seen in this Major League Baseball season, where it's been the home teams that have dominated this early portion of the Major League Baseball season. Let's see if the home teams exact revenge here on Tuesday. Marlins are -180 favorites over the Rockies, with Sandy Alcantara on the mound for Miami. Tanner Gordon will counter for Colorado. The Astros are at the Pirates. It is Paul Skeens Day in Pittsburgh. They're -150 favorites. Lance McCullers will go for Houston. Cubs are at the Nationals. It's going to be Trevor Williams on the mound for DC. And the Cubs, a -155 road favorite, with Cade Horton on the mound for the Cubs. Horton has had a really nice start to his career in 20 innings so far this season. He has allowed 9 runs. He's got 16 strikeouts in those 20 innings, 2-0 with a 3.98 ERA for Cade Horton there for the Cubbies. Guardians are at the Yankees. Tanner Bibee for Cleveland and Carlos Rodon going for New York. The Yankees, of course, without their closer Luke Weaver for the next 4 to 6 weeks, dealing with a hamstring injury. Yankees -185 favorites. Christopher Sanchez gets the start for the Phillies in Toronto against Bowden Francis and the Blue Jays. Phillies are -155 road favorites. Yusei Kikuchi goes for the Angels in Boston against the Red Sox and Brian Bello. The Red Sox are -145 favorites. The Brewers, who have won 8 straight games. That's right. Don't look now, folks. The Brewers, 8 straight games, climbing up the standings there in the NL Central. Freddie Peralta will go for Milwaukee in Cincinnati against the Reds and Hunter Green. Cincinnati is a -115 favorite. And this is one where, you know, you look at both of these pitchers and it feels like a first 5 under. Total in the first 5, though, under 3.5 is even money. Now, it's not a lot of runs to be scored in the first 5 innings, but these are 2 top pitchers, so you wonder. But it's a hitter's ballpark. It's a dangerous bet at 3.5. At 4.5, I would like it much better, although at -175, it's a lot of juice to lay on the under 4.5. The Braves host the Diamondbacks. Spencer Strider on the mound for Atlanta. Zach Gallen going for Arizona. Atlanta's -155. Rangers are at the Rays. Tyler Molly on the mound for the Rangers, and Drew Rasmussen goes for the Rays. Tampa -145. Tigers are at the White Sox. No announced starter just yet for the Tigers. Shane Smith will go for the White Sox. Royals are at the Cardinals. Michael Lorenzen for KC. Adrian Pallante for the Cardinals. St. Louis -150 at home. Orioles are at the Mariners with Seguano, the Japanese import, on the mound for the O's. George Kirby goes for Seattle. Mariners -165, but Kirby, he hasn't been himself since coming off the IL. He's 0-2 with an 11.42 ERA. Maybe he figures it out here. against the Baltimore Orioles. Padres are at the Giants, and Landon Raup goes for the Giants. Going for the Padres, Ryan Burgert. He is a relief pitcher, so this is more of an opener situation, but the Giants are minus 150. Twins are at the A's, Pablo Lopez for Minnesota and Jacob Lopez for the A's, and the Mets and Dodgers will play game two of their series. Tyler McGill on the mound for the Mets. Clayton Kershaw gets the start for the Dodgers. Dodgers are minus 150 as they look to snap a small little two-game losing skid here. As far as a best bet is concerned for this baseball slate here on Tuesday, I'm going to go to that Rangers-Rays game, and I'm going to look at both pitchers, Tyler Molly and Drew Rasmussen, and I'm going to back them and fade both of these offenses here. I like the under in the first five innings. Now, Rasmussen's a guy who has better numbers at home in Tampa than he does on the road. He has opponents are batting just 196 against him on the season at home, and an ERA just north of two at home. Meanwhile, Tyler Molly has had a Cy Young caliber season. He's got a 1.64 ERA, and yes, he has been much better at home as well, but his road numbers, they're not that bad. Opponents batting 238 against him on the road. To me, it's just about the inability for these offenses to score, specifically the Texas Rangers. But if you look at both of these offenses in the first five innings, the Rangers, they average just 1.98 runs in the first five innings of games this year. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Rays, 2.29 runs in the first five innings. And if you combine those, it's right around 4.3 runs per first five. But I'm going to back both of these pitchers and fade both of these offenses and go with the under 4.5 runs in the first five innings, minus 135 up on DraftKings right now. If we look at the numbers here, the Texas Rangers are the third best under team in the first five innings this year, 36, 20, and 4 to the under in the first five innings. The Tampa Bay Rays, well, they are the sixth best under team in the first five innings, 33, 23, and 3. To the under in the first five. At home this year, the Tampa Bay Rays are the third best under team in the first five innings, 22, 13, and 2. So we combine all these factors. This winds up being a best bet for me. We're going with the under 4.5 runs in the first five innings, minus 135 between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Texas Rangers from Steinbrenner Field there in Tampa. Tyler Molly on the mound for the Rangers and Drew Rasmussen going for the Rays. Best bets are brought to you by GBank. And let me tell you guys about the GBank trifecta. It's the $500 trifecta, not just from GBank, but also from First Bet and VSIN. So here's what you need to do. You open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger this $500 trifecta. First, you're going to receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through August 31st. That's a $200 value. That's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. So head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Coming up tomorrow morning, you can wake up with VSIN by the books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m. And then stick around for a numbers game with Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander at 10 a.m. Eastern time, followed by Money Moves with Stormy Buonantony and Jonathan Von Tobel at noon. In fact, I'll be on a numbers game later on this week, so definitely want to check that out. But Matt Brown in for Gil tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern time on a numbers game. Want to thank everybody for helping out here. Jared, Corey, Jorenz, Alex, Chris, everyone else behind the scenes of here at Cashing Out. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. You can always hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live, as we have plenty more to get into with this being championship week, right? We have the Stanley Cup Final beginning on Wednesday. The Edmonton Oilers are a slight home favorite in game number one against the Florida Panthers in the rematch, but it's an even series with the Oilers in some books laying a small juiced price, about minus 115, minus 120. And then game one of the NBA Finals is on Thursday night in Oklahoma City. The Thunder 9-point favorites over the Pacers, and the Thunder a historic minus 700 favorite to beat the Pacers in this series. Plenty of championship games to get to coming up. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.